are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the very, very first time, welcome aboard. I'm delighted that you are here, and I think you will be also. You need to know that we have at our website, which is kevinsmithshow.com, just go over to the website, and we have for you a free weekly newsletter. It comes out each and every week in your email, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. There are absolutely no strings attached. Those of you who are trying to watch the video feed, I have to tell you that just as we started the show, the computer locked up, so it's rebooting. Video will be back soon. Don't panic. Once you get to see, once the video comes back and you get to see me, you will see that I've quite obviously gotten some sun today. I'm pretty red. And the reason for that is that I had a wonderful day today. I really did. What happened was one of our fans, one of our listeners from Australia, Tom McCallum, on vacation here in the United States, took a side trip and flew into Phoenix to spend the day with me today. And we went out to South Mountain. We picked up Jeff Woolline, who is the sort of the resident expert on those petroglyphs up there on South Mountain. And we went up to South Mountain and shot video and got a lot of still photographs. We'll be presenting, I'll present that video to you in the very near future. We have to edit it, but I will present it to you very, very soon, all right? And you'll get to see Tom McCallum and Jeff Woolline and even moi up on South Mountain. South Mountain, of course, is the place from where the very strange things emanate that fly in our skies here above Phoenix. It's one of the places. And so, you know, we're looking forward to being able to present that to you. Now, very quickly, let me tell you about an important, I think it's important, announcement that came from a very prominent cancer research institute located in Pittsburgh. It's called the Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, and it is a warning from Dr. Ronald B. Herbermann. He is the director of the University of Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, and it is a warning for people who use cell phones. In the warning, it says, Don't use cell phones right next to your head. And if you're going to use a cell phone, use, you know, a hands-free wireless earpiece. And it says that children should be allowed to use cell phones only in the event of emergencies. And the reason? Well, they said because it may actually cause cancer. All right, my guest this evening is Eric Taber. We're going to be talking about the really earth-shaking news coming from one of America's great astronauts, Edgar Mitchell. We'll be back.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
And we are back. Our video feed should be working now. It was working right at the beginning of the show. It was working, and then it just locked up where we couldn't switch anything from camera to video. Anyway, it's working. And as I said, if you're looking at the video feed, you can tell that I got a lot of sun today. It was really bright. You've often heard me say here on the show that living in Phoenix in the summertime is something akin to living in North Hell. So I had the opportunity today to ask Tom McCallum from Australia. I said, well, you know, now you're here. What do you think? Is it something like North Hell? He said, oh, yeah, it is. And I also say very often that this looks like Mars with cactus. We got out on South Mountain, and I asked him, I said, so what do you think, Mars with cactus? He said, absolutely. So it's no exaggeration. Big, big, big breaking news coming out of the UK and from an American astronaut. Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to stand on the moon, a very famous and reputable and highly credible astronaut, said some things on a talk show in the UK that have been rattling cages all around the world since he said them yesterday. On the line with me for the show this evening is Eric Taber. Now, Eric is known to you who've been listening to this show for some time. He's been on the show, and he's known to you, probably best known to you, for his investigation into the Stephenville, Texas UFO incident. And he is an investigator for IPUS, which is the International Paranormal UFO Society. Eric, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
I would like to say thank you, Kevin, and I appreciate you having me on again. I must say, though, you need to use that SPF 45 or higher, man, if you're going to be out in the sun.
Well, I knew better. I left the house. I have a hat that I wear. I've got several of them, and especially with this bald dome that I've got. I took everything with me that I needed to take. You know, I had plenty of water. I had some little munchy snacks to take with me. Took my video camera and my tripod, everything, and sunglasses, and walked out of here without a hat. So it got fairly miserable up there in the sunshine on the mountain. But we did indeed get some good video, and I think folks are going to be quite interested in seeing it. I think it's going to be pretty good. Now, tell me something about this. You notified me yesterday while Edgar Mitchell was on. I believe it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And while he was on talking, you notified me. You said, hey, he's on, and he's saying this stuff, and it was some pretty earth-shaking stuff. So let's just talk about it. What did Edgar Mitchell say?
Okay, well, first of all, briefly, I was on AboveTopSecret.com forum. Somebody had just posted it saying that Edgar Mitchell was going to be talking on Kerrang Radio, which is based out of the U.K., so I thought, for the heck of it, I'd click on, and sure enough, he was doing an interview about, you know, walking on the moon. Well, during the interview, somehow, the UFO alien subject came up, and he had a lot to say, about 5 minutes worth. And I jotted down some notes. Some of the things he said was that there is life elsewhere in the universe. He has no doubt he's been told this. He said, we have been visited. UFOs have been covered up by the government for a long time, and the government is in contact and has been in contact with alien beings. And when he said that, the Kerrang host got freaked out. He said, you gotta be kidding me, bloke. This is amazing stuff, and it really was. You know, he said he's been inside military circles that they told him that they know that we've been visited. He said he's been involved in certain research committees, scientific committees, with people who know the real story. And he's been privileged enough to know it because he's an astronaut. And I guess they felt like they could tell him. He said the Roswell crash really did happen, and it was an alien spacecraft. It was not a Skyhook balloon, Project Mogul. He says he doesn't know if disclosure is going to come this year or not, which... hopefully it does, but he made note that public acceptance is increasing. Not all UFOs are of ET origin. Some are homegrown, but some are in fact ET crafts visiting us from other planets. The host asked him if he was concerned about his safety talking about this, and Edgar said, no, I'm not scared about talking about this openly anymore. I don't feel like they come down on people like that anymore, and I believe that's because of, you know, the internet and everything is so connected now. They don't just knock people off the talk anymore.
Well, let us hope that's the truth.
Let's hope so.
Yes.
Alien intent is not hostile. And some others involved in the moon landing also know the truth. Now, I didn't mention any names. So the people on this Kerrang radio show tried to contact NASA. They got through to the public affairs person and asked them, they told them that Edgar Mitchell was going to be on, and they wanted to get a comment from NASA. So I guess all they got was an email from NASA saying that they do not share the same views as Edgar Mitchell and that NASA does not cover up UFOs.
Well, and actually, that is true. They don't cover up UFOs because that's not the word they use. They don't use the term UFO. They call them by other names like fast walkers, unidentified aerial phenomena.
Related targets.
Yeah, and so they can say with a straight face and be telling the truth, they don't investigate UFOs and they don't cover up UFOs because
sure.
They don't.
Sure. UFOs are more pop culture term. They probably don't even use it.
Yeah, you know, when you talk with those folks, you have to use their terminology to pin them down. On my website, I don't know if you've seen it, but you've heard me talk about this before. If you go to the NASA website, which is nasa.gov, and they have a little search box where you can type in a search term, and it will look for that anywhere it may be found on their site, and then present you a list of pages that talk about it. And if you type in UFO space astronaut, you're going to come up with a page that where they talk about astronauts seeing UFOs, and that they've investigated them. And that they have determined that these are not abnormal in the space environment. On my website, I put that quote and then a link to the entire article. And folks should take a look at that. And the reason is I've mentioned that, Eric, and then I've had a couple of emails where people said, well, I went to NASA's website and did what you said. I couldn't find it. Well, I went there and found it for you. And I put the link on the website, so you can just click the link, and you'll see that it is there, and it indeed says what I said it says.
Now, not abnormal in space.
Not abnormal in the space environment.
Don't you think?
Do what?
That can be taken a few different ways. That doesn't mean that they're saying that all objects seen are identifiable objects. They're just saying that seeing things in space is not abnormal. That not be what you think?
Well, yeah, when you say it's not abnormal, then you're saying it is normal. So when you say they have reported seeing unidentified flying objects in space, and that's the terms that that they use in that article. Astronauts have reported seeing these things in space. And then if you take what they said, which is we've determined that's not abnormal in the space environment, you can also say we have determined that is normal in the space environment. So it's normal to see these things out there. Now, they may say, well, that's not what we meant. Okay, fine, but that is what you said, NASA, in print, on your site. That is what you said. So if that's not what you meant, you need to reword it. But for right now, that is what you said. And I'm pretty sure we have a few folks from NASA tuned in.
So we've got Edgar Mitchell, who is an MIT grad, right?
That's right. Also, he was at the time he was on the moon, he was a captain in the Navy.
Correct.
He was a Navy flyer.
We've also got Mr. Gordon Cooper, who passed, unfortunately, in 04. And his story is that back in 57, he was at Edwards Air Force Base in California. He was a test pilot, and there was a film crew there filming, I guess, the test flights. And him and the crew watched what they said was a 30-foot-wide silver disc descend and land in the dry lake bed with three legs that came down and it landed. So the film crew tried to get closer to it, to film it, and as they got closer, the damn legs, you know, went back into the craft, and it took off straight up at, you know, a high rate of speed. Gordon Cooper says that he, in order to do the correct procedure, I guess, sent the film to Washington, D.C., and it's never been seen from again. So, I mean, it's not like there's one astronaut talking about this, or one military high-ranking military official talking about this. There's a lot, you know, a lot.
Well, and there is the ever-anomalous Buzz Aldrin talking about it. You know, he goes on one show and talks about, we saw this thing out of our window, and we didn't know what it was. It was not anything we've ever seen before. It was L-shaped. And he said, you know, well, we asked Houston, how far away was the was our booster rocket from us? And they said it was like 6,000 miles or something like that.
Yeah,
and he said, we knew that wasn't it. So he says that on one show, then he comes back on another show and says, that was our booster rockets. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
There's no figuring that guy out. I think he's a great astronaut and a real hero, but I'll tell you, he needs to decide which story he's going to tell and then just stick with it.
Right. You know, you got to think, if you're in these people's position, do you really want to tick off NASA that much? I mean, there's a lot of things involved.
There are a lot of things involved. However, these gentlemen will never fly in space again, no matter what. They're too old. And it's over. They're never going to fly in space again. And so it may be time to just go ahead and do what Edgar Mitchell did and just say, here's the deal. Now, you listened to this interview, correct?
Correct.
Did he say that he had seen anything on the moon personally?
Nope, he made no mention of the moon. All he mentioned was that some of the people involved in the Roswell incident contacted him, and he went to speak with them on their deathbed and pretty much told them that it was the recovered alien craft. I guess there was several people involved.
All right, and did anyone tell him that there were bodies recovered?
Yes, he did say that. He said it was a crash of an alien craft and there were bodies. He said that on the show, interview, last night.
Yep. All right. Now, he has made statements that got close to this before. Down in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I think the year was 2004, it could have been 2005, in a speech, he said that that UFOs are real and some of them are alien craft. And he said there are bodies that have been recovered and there are scientists that are working with that. But in this interview, and by the way, that was reported by the newspaper in St. Petersburg, Florida, but it never made it onto the wires to go nationwide. I just sort of dug that up and found it. But he did say it. But in this interview, if I understand you correctly, what he said was that he has personal knowledge that it is true because he's been on committees and that were dealing with this and has, I guess, seen documents or seen proof. What did he say?
Correct. He said he's been to the Pentagon and he has been inside military circles and scientific circles, and I guess having to do with the fact that he's a well-respected American astronaut, I guess these people felt like he could be privy to this information, and that's what he's saying, that he's been privy to this information, and he's willing to speak about it openly now. And he did mention about the media covering the subject more, so I think he feels more obliged to maybe talk about it, you know.
So he mentioned that the media is taking it more seriously?
Sure, because the host said, how come I haven't heard about this before? And Edgar said, well, you must not have been watching the news lately because it's coming out more and more.
Yeah, it is. And I think there are some people in the media that are relieved to be able to get this story out because they've been trying, a lot of them, have been trying to get the story out for years. And they have been thwarted at every turn by the editors and so forth. So I think,
remember Peter Jennings, don't you? The
sure.
UFO seeing is believing. There was many claims that I don't know, the CIA or some kind of form of the government or military did do some editing somehow, some inside job editing, and kind of watered that down a little bit. I believe Stephen Greer made a claim of that, and it wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't. That was a two-hour documentary.
Well, I'm going to tell you something and to reveal to our audience something that I have not done before. After the Peter Jennings special, UFOs Seeing is Believing, I wrote an article called Peter Jennings, I think it said the good, the bad, the indifferent, or something like that. I can't remember, but it was not really a flattering article. I didn't scorch him, but I did say that, you know, there were parts of that that were really, really good, and then there were parts of it that were just ridiculous. And, you know, I just laid it out like I saw it and like I still see it. I received an email from someone, last name Jennings, apparently a family member, that said, you know, advising me that I should consider the fact that while he perhaps believed very strongly in the reality of these UFOs, he had to balance certain things in order to get it past the producers so that they could get it on the air. And I do consider that. I don't think Peter Jennings personally decided to scuttle his own show with bad information. I do consider that, but it did make the show. It was The Good, the Bad, and the Bland. That's what it was called. It did make the show rather bland in places and just outright bad in places. But there were some excellent spots in that show as well.
Yeah, they have to have the. Always seems like they always have to have the skeptical point of view. For example, you know, Larry King's had a few UFO shows. Let's see, Stevensville was covered again on July 11th. By the way, Ricky was on and actually talked live about his harassment and what he saw back in mid-December.
Talking about Ricky Sorrells.
Ricky Sorrells, right. He's from Dublin, Texas, for those that don't know.
Yeah, we tried to get him on the show. We were not able to do that.
And then July 18th was the most recent one. They had three Air Force personnel, one from Malmstrom Air Force Base, I believe in Montana, and Vandenberg in California. And there was two incidences. Both occurred in the 1960s. The one at Malmstrom, there was 10 nuclear missiles that went to no-go condition after UFOs were spotted above the area. And the Vandenberg incident was they were test firing a Atlas missile in 1964, and Bob Jacobs, set up some filming equipment, and they were going to film the rocket in flight, you know, during all three stages. Well, I guess in middle or last stage, they filmed the UFO that was hovering right around this missile, left, right, and on top, firing some sort of beam at the missile, which caused it to malfunction and tumble out of the sky. And keep in mind that this missile was traveling at approximately 18,000 miles an hour. He got called into his superior's office the next day, and the film was put on the projector. And he said, "Dr. Jacobs, what is this? Were you guys fooling around?" And he said, "Nope, that's a bona fide UFO." And he told Dr. Jacobs, "Well, this never happened, don't speak of it." And there was three CIA officials in the room in gray suits, and they took the material and left.
All right, we have to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Eric Taber. Weird, weird stuff and breaking news in the world of UFOs. Don't go away. We'll be back. Right. I forgot to do this at the beginning of the show, but let me do it now. Yesterday, I shared with you the fact that, you know, as prices increase on absolutely everything, it makes it tougher and tougher and tougher for us to continue the Kevin Smith Show. It comes out of my pocket, and the pocket is very thin. And so I said, you know, if you got a few extra bucks and, you know, you feel like the show is worth continuing, then, you know, click that donate button and help us out. So to the one person who sent us $20, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, Eric, we were talking about Dr. Edgar Mitchell and about actually about some other stuff having to do with UFOs. I want to go back to Dr. Edgar Mitchell here for just a moment. I've put his picture up on the screen. This is his, I guess, official Apollo. Well, that's actually, that says Apollo 11, and he was not in Apollo 11. No, that's Apollo 14. It just looks, it's so small. So anyway, but that's his official Apollo pose, I guess. And I think folks will remember him from another incident of almost disclosure. You're familiar with it, I think. He was on the air with Richard Hoagland, and they were on the Art Bell Show, and this happened several years ago. And Richard Hoagland had presented some photographic evidence that there were artifacts on the moon that are artificial artifacts, in other words, manufactured. And they talked about it. He never actually denied, but didn't admit. Did any of that come up in this interview?
No, it didn't. I can say one thing about the moon, and that is I called a NASA scientist, a very high-ranking NASA scientist, in fact, and I kind of caught him off guard, but he talked to me for about 10 minutes about UFOs, and one thing he mentioned was, out of the blue, he says to me, you know we can't see the dark side of the moon, right? And I said, right. And then there was kind of just silence. I thought, is that a hint? You know?
Well, it certainly sounds like a hint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's pretty open-minded to the UFO issue. Of course, he says, like all the other NASA or military people, there is no proof. I said, okay. But thanks for talking to me. So no, he didn't mention anything about the moon during the interview.
Well, you know, I've said this a lot, and in fact, I think when you were on before, we talked about this. There's really no actual proof of anything. There's evidence. And when the preponderance, when the preponderance of the evidence points in one direction, a lot of times people say, well, that's it. For me, that's proof. Well, you know, I understand what they're saying. But there's not even any actual proof that you exist or that I exist. There's evidence of it, but there's no proof that we can pile up a lot of evidence. And but there reaches a point where you look at the massive pile of evidence in any case, and you say, well, it appears to me that evidence is saying that this or that is a reality. And that's what we have with the UFO situation. In my opinion, we have a massive mountain of evidence of the reality. And in fact, I would say that there is no longer any debate. I don't think that it's a rational debate to even discuss whether UFOs exist or not. I don't think that's rational. The evidence is just overwhelming. But there is room for debate, although it's vanishing, as to whether some of these are alien craft, and if alien, where do they come from? Did he have anything to say about where these aliens may come from?
Nope. No specific names of planets. He just said that he has been told that extraterrestrials and their crafts have visited us from other planets. I think one of the problems is that the people who would know that are on the inside, you know, the really insiders, you don't see them on CNN. Larry King Live, you don't see them on, you know, shows like yours.
Yeah.
So us, you know, we're not peons, but I'll use that term. Us peons have the so-called evidence, which is a lot of testimony, to go by. And, I mean, I don't know. See, I look at the MOD releasing their files over the next 4 years, and the Vatican astronomer saying it's okay to believe in aliens. It doesn't conflict with Christian beliefs. You know, all these shows on Larry King, it's all good to at least spur debate again and kind of open up the Pandora's box, so to speak.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think it's a good thing. But it's a good thing, I think, especially like the Larry King show is a good thing. And I think that's a better thing than the Vatican. And although I'm not discounting it, but the here's why: very few people in the country, and perhaps in the world, very very few people will have read anything about or care anything about what the Vatican astronomer said. Although I do, and I think it's important, but it's not the kind of thing that the general public latches onto.
I agree. It was on a few news channels, and the only thing I would say is you got to kind of think, if the Vatican, they don't let anything go to the mainstream media most of the time, that they don't, if they had a big qualm with him saying that, it wouldn't have gone out, I don't think.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But the more important thing, though, is that there's a greater portion of the general population that will have been watching Larry King than those who have been watching the Vatican. And that's why I say that venue, in terms of getting people acclimated to the idea that extraterrestrials visit this planet, they're real, they're intelligent, they're highly superior technologically, they visit this planet, getting people acclimated to that, I think the Larry King show is way ahead of as a venue for that. Way ahead press releases from the Vatican, although I think those press releases are important. But the general population would have, in greater numbers, seen the Larry King shows.
Sure. The only problem I have with the last show and his shows in general would be that they're an hour long, okay, first of all. Second of all, they've got the, sometimes, you know, people with first-hand accounts, like the last show with the three Air Force people, but they have these people like Bill Nye on, and all that ends up happening is, you know, people start arguing, and it kind of dampens the effect a little bit.
If his producers, though...
People tune in and just hear, like, bickering, you know.
Well, if his producers... or if network executives said, well, you got to have somebody from the other side, well, sure, then he's got to do it. And I cannot think of a better person from the other side than Bill Nye, because he gives the other side an absolutely black eye, because he is obviously, completely, totally uninformed about the issues.
Sure.
And so if you got to have somebody from the other side, let's have somebody that is really... uninformed, and
sure,
and it behaves like really kind of behaves like an idiot on the show.
But someone else that isn't acclimated maybe as much as you or I with the subject is probably turned off by that, maybe, you know, the bickering aspect. But
yeah,
it's good.
But if you got to have that in order to get the good stuff on there, okay, you know, if that's what it takes to get it past the network executives, then okay. But I think folks should recognize that for what it is. And as I said, in fact, I was talking with Dick Criswell about it, and I think both of us kind of came to the same conclusion that if you got to have somebody from the other side, who better than Bill Nye? Because you walk away from that saying, what a nut, and you know, it really shows I guess you could say it really shows the color of the underwear on the other side. You get to see just really how uninformed those people are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Bill's underwear is colored pink, because the guy brings nothing informative other than saying, well, it's far-fetched to make the step from saying UFO to alien spacecraft. Well, no kidding. And he doesn't talk about the evidence, you know. He just rambles on about skepticism and negativity, but...
All right, now you've done some investigation into this Roswell thing. Now you brought that up. Edgar Mitchell, you said, told that the Roswell incident was actually, truly a UFO, and that alien bodies were recovered. And then you have done some investigation on that. You want to share any of that with us this evening?
Yeah, I'll share what I can, and that is, I've been talking to a fellow by the name of Boyd Bushman. He resides in Texas. He's an older fellow, retired, top-notch Lockheed research scientist. He's still a consultant for Lockheed in Texas, as well as NASA, and he has told me over the phone that he knows the Navy pilot who actually brought down the Roswell craft in 1947.
All right, with that, we have to go to a break. That'll put you on the edge of your seat all the way through this break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away, folks.
We'll be right back.
My guest this evening is Eric Taber. He's been with us before. I want to remind you that he is an investigator with IPUS, International Paranormal UFO Society. Eric, when we left for the break, you had just sort of dropped a bombshell on us here. You said that you've been in contact with a guy who was, I think you said, an engineer at one point with Lockheed?
Sure, yep. A research scientist.
A research scientist, all right. And he told you that he personally knows the Navy pilot that shot down the Roswell craft.
Correct. That's what he told me. He wouldn't go into any detail as far as giving me the guy's name or how he was able to bring the craft down. But one thing I want your listeners to keep in mind about Boyd Bushman is that he's dealt with several millions and millions of dollars with Lockheed. He's been up to the Pentagon and all that kind of stuff. And he actually told me also that Bob Lazar is who he says he is, and he knows for a fact. He's currently working on ways to modify the effects of gravity.
Who is now? Bushman? Boyd Bushman is doing that, or Bob Lazar?
Boyd Bushman.
All right, now, he said that he knows for a fact that Bob Lazar is who he claimed to be.
Yep.
How does he know that?
He didn't tell me. A lot of things I ask him, he'll be very vague in his answer, and I think it's for a reason. But he has dropped some bits of information that really made me say, wow, you know.
Well, you know, Dick Criswell has been on this show, and we talked about Bob Lazar. And by the way, for those of you, I'll just make a little parenthetical statement. I'll come back to what I was going to say. Those of you who have wondered about Dick Criswell, you know, he had a stroke, and I told you he was out of the hospital, and I've been in contact with him, and he's doing very, very well. He's going to be with us this week on the show, so you want to be sure you tune in.
Yes,
each
I'd
and
like
every
to
night.
Extend my condolences, and also he's been in my thoughts and prayers, definitely.
Yeah, well, he's doing well. He told me to tell everybody he is back in the saddle, and he sounds like it. So he's going to be with us this week. But Dick Criswell's been on this show, who is the founder of IPUS, and he said that when he was a member of the AlphaCom team, that he saw the dossier on Bob Lazar, and he said he's the real deal. That's a quote. He's the real deal. He is who he said he was. He did what he said he did.
Yeah, he said he's seen the documents.
Yeah. And so now here you have Boyd Bushman telling you this, that Bob Lazar is the real deal.
He also told me he knows someone that's been inside in what he called an ET craft. And the person that went inside of it told Boyd that when you're inside of it, the craft he was in, that he could see the outside. It was almost like the whole craft from the inside is like translucent, you know what I mean? Like everything, it's almost like you're not even in a craft, just about. Now, I found that to be jaw-dropping. I said, really? Okay. I need to talk to this guy more often.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you, as you were talking with him, how did the subject of Bob Lazar come up?
I was just kind of rattling off things here and there, UFO-wise, to get his opinion, and I just kind of asked him what he thought about Bob Lazar, and he said, I know for a fact that he's who he says he is. Keep in mind, I think Boyd Bushman's in his early 70s, I believe. So I don't know if he's telling me these things because he's only a consultant now and he's not actually in, or if he just trusts me. I don't know. I just called him out of the blue. And
he didn't have any reservations about you talking about it or using his name or any of that?
Nope.
I've seen video.
He's actually been on the From Here to Andromeda, produced by Mr. David Ceretta.
That's right. I've seen the video. I had David Ceretta on several times, but I had him on when From Here to Andromeda was being released, and he sent me a copy of it. So I've seen that interview, and it is a mind-blowing interview with Boyd Bushman.
Sure is. There's other things in the works I can't speak of, but I'll leave it at that.
All right, now, whenever Bushman said he's working on ways to manipulate gravity, I guess for propulsion systems, is that it?
Yes, I would imagine. I didn't really want to delve into that aspect because I knew he wouldn't be able to talk about it, but he says that he's got ways of making things levitate, he said. He's done experiments where he puts some kind of strong magnets around a rock or something, and he has a normal rock, and he goes to the top of a building and is able to make the rock with the magnets around it or something drop slower than the regular rock. And he's a pretty brilliant guy. He said that he's the godfather of the Stinger missile, I believe. So he's a big timer, or was in Lockheed.
Well, and certainly still is.
Sure.
But now, you recently had a meeting as well. I don't know if you want to talk about it. I will tell you enough so that you know what I'm talking about. A meeting with some fairly high-ranking people. Do you want to discuss that?
Yeah, I'll briefly discuss it. I posted this on a few forums, and about 60 or 70 of the people don't believe me, and that's fine. I'm not here to prove myself to anyone. I'm only speaking what I know. Dick Criswell had mailed me a piece of the material that he found near Muncie, Indiana, at a crash site of a UFO in 1988 was the crash, I believe, and he recovered it in 89. I wanted to bring it to somewhere in the state I live in here to a military person that could take a look at it. So I contacted somebody, I really don't want to mention his name, and his secretary helped set up a meeting. So this was down in Robins Air Force Base. Drove down there 2 hours, and I got there, and a butler or somebody at the door greeted me. Said, okay, and out of this room comes about 10 or 11 people in suits. They all shook my hand, and they were Lockheed Martin engineers. Went to a big room, sat at a large table. I sat at the head of the table. I felt like I was briefing the president's scientific panel. It was crazy. Big leather chairs. Anyways, I showed them the little piece of material, and they passed it around, and I got a bunch of funny looks. Told them about my grandfather's UFO encounter in 1971. I just told them about a bunch of UFO cases of high interest to me, which would be like, you know, the Belgium, 1989 Belgium UFOs, UFOs over D.C. in 52, Roswell, Kecksburg, et cetera, et cetera. And I pretty much talked for about a full hour, and these people were just sitting there with their jaws open, just staring at me. I said, this is kind of awkward, people. Is anybody going to say something? And during about halfway through, there was one woman. She got up, and she looked like she was pretty distraught or something. And she walked out in a hurry. But there was nothing menacing, really. I brought some MJ-12 documents, a packet of them I'd bought online. And so they were sitting on the top of this packet I had brought. I also brought my letter from Dick Cheney regarding UFOs. He sent me a letter that I, or in reply to one I sent him. Anyways, this old guy in a suit sitting next to me, and he says, "You know, son, you got some documents there labeled top secret. You're not supposed to have that." I said, "Okay." I said, "Would you like to take a look at them?" And he says, "No." I said, "Okay. Hope nothing happens to me here." You know, I started kind of getting nervous, but all in all, it was really good. Something I'll never forget, you know, as somebody my age having some kind of meeting like that.
We're coming up on our top of the hour break. I just want to ask you quickly, what was the result of that meeting? Anything?
No, not really.
What did they say quickly about the metal that you brought?
Well, the graph I brought, I had it analyzed here at a lab, but the graph was very low quality, and it was only able to detect silicon. So I've got to get an isotope analysis on it. So they weren't too impressed with the graph.
All right.
So.
Very good. We have to take our top of the hour break now, and we will be back absolutely with Eric Taber and with your telephone calls if you have questions or comments about what we've been talking about. I think it's rather ground-shaking, groundbreaking news, this thing with Edgar Mitchell. And I think it also is the information about Boyd Bushman's statements. We'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
Crash, drinking real hard,
And welcome back. My guest this evening is Eric Taber, and we're talking about this interview. Well, many things, but we're talking, I guess, kind of the focus of what we've been talking about is the interview of Edgar Mitchell. The interview took place on a British radio station, a British radio show, and he made some rather startling, straightforward statements about extraterrestrial life, UFOs, human interaction with UFOs. And Eric, there is something I forgot to ask you.
Okay.
Did he say anything at all about contact with these alien races?
Gosh, I'm trying to think. I believe it was just kind of a blanket statement, like we have been in contact with them for a long time, and that was basically it. How, where, I don't know.
Did he define what he meant by we?
I would imagine, you know, the military, scientists, along those lines.
All right. And I just wanted to throw that in because I had forgotten to ask it. I made a note of that during the break. I just wanted to throw that in. But I want to go back now to this meeting that you had. Was it a fairly recent meeting?
It was about, I believe it was in mid-June, I believe it was. Didn't write down the exact date. Now, people are hounding me about not writing down names of these people, which I can understand. But at the same time, this was something that I did for me, mostly. I did report on it, but I didn't want to go with the mindset, with the plan of bringing a notepad and all, you know, writing down everybody's name and getting everything. I just wanted to speak with them, you know.
Well, like, in a situation like that, they're not likely to be very candid with you if they see you writing notes.
Sure, sure. That's why I didn't want to go seeming like I was some kind of spy, you know. I wanted to be more casual about it and just get their views. I did ask one of the people, I said, now I know that some of these crafts that people see are not ET craft and that they're y'alls. I said, why do you fly these things over populated areas sometimes? He said, I don't know if you said this jokingly or not, but this is what he said. He said, well, sometimes they do stray off course, and other times the pilots like to get a close-up view of their home. And I laughed. It was funny. And I think he was joking. I'm not sure. That's what he said.
All right, the telephone number, if you have a question or a comment for Eric, the telephone number is 623-581-5148. All right, and you can see it on your screen right there if you're watching the video feed, if you're watching our online television channel. It is 1-623-581-5148. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I don't know if you are aware of it, but it's called DirecTV. They have a lot of the latest things, and I had a chance to watch that interview myself this morning. Not that I can recall exactly what he said, but, you know, confirmed that he did state that there was aliens and there was alien contact for some time with the governments and stuff. I believe that it seems like Larry King and more it seems like it's just things just snowballing into disclosure.
Yeah, you know, and you've been listening to this show for some time. I know you've heard me talk about that, that I think the turning point was that newspaper article that was done in Chicago about the Chicago O'Hare UFO incident. It treated it seriously. It just reported. It didn't sensationalize to the right, to the left. It didn't go forward or backward.
If you don't, Kevin, is that that article was the number one all-time hit for Chicago Tribune. I believe of over 1 million hits in like 24 hours. So.
Yeah.
I think I heard on that thing where some lady put out a newscast or something and was fired for it?
That would be the Stephenville incident, and it would be Angela Joyner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were Stephen, what's his name, the head of the closure project on here just recently?
Yeah, Stephen Greer.
Yeah, he, I know they stated before, like, they was all set up, like, in 2000 to bring this to the Senate floor, you know, and it was really close then, and then 9/11 happened, and it blew it out of the water, you know, up probably until now, I guess.
You know, I was not aware of that fact, so that's something new that I've learned. Is that did Stephen Greer say that?
I can't, I wouldn't swear to it, but I did hear that they were really close. They were taking all the testimonies and stuff, and they were really pushing hard, and that if 9/11 didn't happen, they would have had disclosure by now, they believe.
All right.
They would have had a better chance to set up a committee hearing, sure.
Yeah. Terry, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. The telephone number again, folks, is 1-623-581-5148. And if you have a comment or a question for our guest, or if you have a comment about this this show, the topic that we're talking about, please avail yourself of the opportunity to transport yourself to right here in the studio by using that telephone number. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin. Speak up good and loud for us.
Yes, hello, Eric. It's ICUS Director from Iroquois Falls, Ontario. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey there, friend. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I have to make a comment. That, great, you're doing a great job tonight on the show tonight. I really love what you're doing. And I wanted to know, is there any possible way you could email me a lot of this, any of the stuff that you have on Boyd Bushman?
Sure, not a problem.
You can get, I won't send my email on the air, of course, but you could get it through Dick Criswell, and he has my email address also. So some of the stuff you can give me on the board.
Sure, just ask Dick for my email address. So he'll be more than glad to give it to you.
Great, yeah, I'd like to look into some of that information myself. But other than that, there's been no UFO activities. I've got a couple of reports of UFOs up here, and just people seeing weird lights, and as soon as they see the lights, they whisk off at about 10,000 miles an hour, but that's about it. Nothing substantial up here recently, unlike we had earlier in the year.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks. Have a good night.
All right. 1-623-581-5148. 1-623-581-5148. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Jeff in Atlanta.
Hi, Jeff. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
You know what we do for first-time callers? You've got to get some applause for that. All right. What's on your mind this evening?
I actually personally know Eric Tabor, so I was just going to interject some things that he was saying.
All right.
Yeah, hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, Eric. What's going on, buddy? Hey, I just wanted to congratulate you for the show tonight and everything you said. And, you know, everything you say is true. Nobody knows that. You know, people like you and I know that. But, you know, we have to really start pushing the buttons like Edgar Mitchell does. And we've got to do what we have to do to facilitate disclosure. And, you know, Edgar Mitchell is finally, you know, I knew he knew what was going on a long time ago. I just didn't really, you know, I just didn't really want to talk about it, but I knew what was going on behind the scenes. And now he has the confidence to say what he has to say because everybody knows what's going on in the government. I mean, I have a contact at NASA as well, and that person has been, you know, really ruined by the federal authority because of his knowledge and his whistleblowing of what's going on with ET. Everybody knows what's going on. It's not about UFOs, it's about ET. That's the whole thing. You know, we know that the government, our government, has UFO technology, but they never acknowledge the presence of ET, and that's the most important thing. You know, there are races, you know, investigating, you know, coming to this planet And they have a presence. They're contacting people. They contact their, you know, our government. Everybody knows this. You know, this is not, you know, this is not something that is, you know, I mean, this is so, you know, it's just so obvious. And it's just really very frustrating that, nobody is taking action against this. And we have to take action. We have to communicate to our government, the people that we elect, who are really actually just as much victims as we are. We've got to communicate to these people. We can reach these people. You know, this is not just...
Let me ask you, what is it that we should communicate?
You know, we... There are so many things that are going on right now with this country. You know, we've got, you know, we've got the Patriot Act. We got, you know, we've got all this.
Yeah, but specifically about UFOs and ETs, what is it that we should communicate, and to whom?
First of all, it's just like Eric said. The ETs are good. There are several races. Some are good, some are bad. You know, through my contactee sources and everything else, I know that there are certain, you know, aspects of ET races that are really not that good. You know, everybody wants them to...
Yeah, but what is it that we should communicate to our elected officials?
Do you mind if I chime in, Jeff?
Yeah, go ahead, Derek.
I would say that we need to, I mean, my motto is apathy will get you nothing, and at least trying might get you something. So all these people that say contacting your representatives, you know, calling the White House comment line, yada yada, is worthless. But if we all did it, and we all did it on a regular basis, they might, you know, tell them something. And,
yeah, but when you contact that contact line, what would you tell them?
Sure. I would push for, I would say, the last open congressional hearing was 1968, and we need another one. All these witnesses that are for the Disclosure Project that are willing to testify under oath, well, can we get a 24-hour hearing for these people? I do that all the time, you know.
Okay.
People feel safe now. Like Edgar Mitchell, he feels safe. You know, he feels that he can now acknowledge that what the government has done for 60 years, really, in my opinion, it's been 70 years at least. They've known what's been going on for several decades and have kept it from us. And you know, it's such a brilliant way that they've done that. You know, so compartmentalized that nobody really understands how they do this. But I understand how they do it. And Eric, you understand how they do it.
Yeah.
Kevin, you understand how they do it.
Sure.
You know, we all understand it, and we've got to convince the population, not just the American public. This has nothing to do with America. You know, this has to do with the world population.
It has to do with humanity. Sure.
You know, we've got some serious issues here. And we've got to correct this before, you know, it goes into the toilet. So, you know, what are we going to do? We need to be activists. We need to stand up to this authority and to this secret government. We've got to stand up to them. We have no choice. We have to stand up to them. The time right now is for us to stand up against these guys. We have to do it now. We have no choice. We have to do it now.
Jeff, I appreciate the call. I have to move on because I have other callers trying to get in. I appreciate the call, and I think you bring up some very valid points and good points for us to think about. And I hope you'll call the show again.
I will, Kevin. Thank you.
All right.
Take care, Jeff. Kevin, quick question.
Yeah.
Is there any way you can turn the caller's volume up on my phone for some reason? It's really, really low.
With some of them, I can. With some of them, I can't because, for instance, if they call me on a cell phone and they're using one of those earphone things, the wireless earphone thing, it's going to be muffled, and no matter how much I crank it up, I had him up at max. I don't know if he was using one of those, but that's what it sounded like. It depends on the caller's telephone connection more than anything.
Okay, thank you.
All right. The telephone number for the caller who gave up Let me invite you to call back. The telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris from Grand Rapids. What's on your mind?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Great.
Hey, I just had a comment, I guess, and kind of a thought to propose to you guys. Do you feel that as this generation, this space exploration generation, you know, really our pioneer astronauts, are coming to their final years, do you think that this might start changing a lot of their sworn to secrecy or just personal views on keeping some of this stuff quiet?
What do you say, Eric?
Well, I don't think Edgar Mitchell was ever sworn to secrecy. I believe that he was told kind of like through the grapevine type of deal, and then the people who probably told him probably thought he would never, you know, be on Larry King talking about it. But I give Edgar Mitchell all the kudos in the world for doing what he's doing and talking about what he's heard and knows. So that's the way I feel about it. I hope that his testimony, though, is taken seriously, and it, the media says, wow, we got an astronaut here saying this. We ought to cover this subject more often in a more, you know, non-biased, serious manner.
Well, let me throw something in there. You said, I hope that the news media will take Edgar Mitchell, his testimony seriously, and cover it in a non-biased manner. They're not covering it at all. 24 hours have gone by. There's nothing on Google News. There's nothing on Yahoo News about this. Hasn't been on radio and television.
Right.
I think that's what they're going to do with it. They're going to ignore it.
And it seems, too, by these guys waiting so long, you know, it really just gives doubters every opportunity to go, well, if this was so important and this was so revolutionary and life-changing, why didn't you say something about it when you got back?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that is they can lose their pensions, they can go to jail. It probably is not going to happen now. But there, not only is there this... you know, this oath of secrecy, which actually you do take as military personnel. There's kind of a blanket oath that things regarding your missions are to be kept in the family, so to speak. You don't talk about them publicly. But in addition to that, there is the Alien Act, the Extraterrestrial Act, that says that anybody that says they've come into contact with extraterrestrials can be arrested. They can be held without being charged.
A fine of $10,000.
Do what?
I believe it was a fine of $10,000.
Yeah, a fine up to $10,000 simply for having contact with extraterrestrials, which if they don't exist, why would you pass this law?
Yeah.
And, you know, that covers you, me, Eric Tabor, and the astronauts. It covers everybody.
Perhaps
so, it is interesting.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate the call, man.
Thank you, sir. You guys have a good night.
All right.
Take care.
Eric, you were going to say something.
Yeah, with the extraterrestrial law, maybe that has something to do with more along the lines of, I don't know, like E.T., like bacteria or something, not so much the actual intelligent ETs, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't, the language of that law doesn't restrict
right,
it to that.
It's broad, yeah.
Yeah. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Millie again from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Yes, I want to mention something about what Eric was saying about bringing out about disclosure.
Yeah.
A good idea would be like if enough people would wake up and send, you know, organize themselves and send letters like to the newspapers, like maybe to 300 letters to the newspapers and just say, we know they exist. Do not be afraid to tell us. We know
sure.
There's not going to be a panic like you think. We already know they exist. We know we visited. You know, just come out with it. And they could do the
you
same
know what we need to do? We need to start acting like a lobbyist group. there's all these lobbyist groups. Well, damn it, this UFO community, we need to start lobbying for our cause, you know, and I think there's a lot of apathy, you know, in some quarters of, you know.
Yeah, but the other side of this is, like Kevin was just saying, about this astronaut that when he spoke on the radio and he said what he said, it was never covered by the media. Everybody ignored it. Everybody put a lid on it. So if we try and get organized and do this, they're going to do the same to us. You know, they might not print those letters. They might ignore our letters to the White House or to wherever.
Yeah, you know, they might. But I'll tell you this, and this is very important. You see, this is why internet radio and internet television is so important, because we present alternatives. We present the information that the mainstream media refuses to talk about.
Right.
And that's why it's so important. And that's why I say, if you think it's important and you like it and you support it, psychologically and philosophically, support it financially, because it can't continue without your help.
Well,
it is important. Hey, thanks for the call.
Sir, you're very welcome.
All right.
Take care now.
One of the things that people don't realize, Eric, is that you operate as an IPAS investigator out of your pocket. You don't get a check from IPAS. And I operate out of my pocket. Today I was up on South Mountain with Jeff Woolline and one of our listeners from Australia. Jeff operates out of his pocket. And so, you know, that's why it's so important for people, you know, if you're interested in this kind of information, you've got to support it, because the people that are doing it are operating out of their own pockets to get it done.
Sure, no doubt. You know, several, you know, if the majority of your listeners would only send them a few dollars, you know, a lot of people, a few dollars makes a lot of dollars and helps out, you know.
It does. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Mickey from Atlanta.
Hello, Mickey.
And, Kevin, you and your guests are certainly a wonderful show tonight. And I did a Yahoo search. I found four newspaper articles about this particular interview. And I've also found here the interview itself.
I will have to say, if you found four newspaper articles about it, then those have hit the list since I checked earlier in the day.
What happened? Because all of them said 1 hour and a few minutes ago.
Ah, there you go.
I have
can
here,
ask you,
and I can tell you quickly for your listeners, the URL. I quickly tell you how to get there, where they can go and listen to the radio interview.
Yeah, do that.
All right. This is the URL, just briefly. It's Kerrang. That's K-E-R-R-A-N-G radio.co.uk. If you will go there on their home page, there's a little mention of the interview, picture of Edgar Mitchell, I believe. Click on that. It takes you to the page where all you got to do is just click the button, and you can listen to the entire radio interview. I've only listened to about 7 or 8 minutes of it, but I believe the entire radio interview is actually on this website.
All right.
I'll hang up and enjoy the rest of the show.
Mickey, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that'll be a good thing to do.
Sure.
Go over there and listen to it after this show. Don't do it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, after this show.
Their call to NASA is also on there, too, and that's quite interesting.
It is indeed. Caller, you're on the Kevin Smith Show, and if you'll tell us your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
A voice from beyond.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
Hey, fun.
Let me warn you, Dick, we've got about a minute and a half before we hit the break.
Okay. We were talking about that ET law.
Yeah.
You were kind of touched on a couple things there. Let me tell you why that ET law was enacted there. That was basically so that we could not share technology. That was the basis of that. That's what Dr. Wolf had told me when he was alive, that they didn't want anybody having any technology from anywhere else. That's what that law was about.
Well, it's a pretty broad law in the way it's written, and it's got some serious penalties.
It certainly does, but that was what that was all about. They did not want you to have any technology from anywhere else other than here.
All right. Let me, since you're on the line with me, let me go ahead and remind folks again that you're going to be with me this week. We're not going to tell folks what day. But you're going to be with me this week, and they need to tune in and listen.
That is correct. That is correct, and we're looking forward to doing the show.
Man, you don't sound like you had a stroke.
Well, I talked to two therapists today, and they said, "My God, are you sure that that's what happened to you?" And I said, "Well, that's what they're telling me."
Yeah. Welcome back. We're glad to have you back.
Thanks a lot. And Eric, you're doing a fine job, buddy.
Hey, appreciate that, Mr. Invincible. Way to go. Glad you're back in action.
All right, thanks for the call. We're in. We're headed into this break. Dick, I look forward to talking with you on the show as my guest one night this week. All right, we're coming up on the break here in 2 seconds. There it is. And we will be back with Eric Taber. And more of your telephone calls right after this.
Yeah.
We are back, and Eric, let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Eric. This is Robert from New York.
Would this be Robert?
Yes.
Who has been on this show?
Yes.
Yeah, Morningstar.
I'm doing good. This is Robert Morningstar.
Hi. Well, fellas, I just want to congratulate you on a great show. And Eric and I have been in touch and about all of this for quite a while now. And I commend him, as Jeff did, for all the work he does on behalf of all of us to bring this information to light. It is very important. I wanted to put in my two cents this week because I happen to have written to Commander Mitchell. I always address him as Commander Mitchell.
All right.
Sunday, the 39th anniversary of the landing of Apollo 11. And at that time, I communicated to him some information that I've had about his flight and Apollo 15 that perhaps he'd forgotten about. So I couched it in very tactful and diplomatic terms. I said that I was hoping to jog his memory about some pictures that I discovered from his mission, Apollo 14. So I asked whether or not he or Commander Shepard had taken the photograph that I had in question. And he wrote back that he had taken it. And the photo I sent him was a high-resolution Hasselblad of a large rock that he photographed twice, which indicates to me that he photographed the rock from a distance, then all of a sudden ran up close to it in the very next photograph. And in the very next photograph, there is a very large object, and I mean a very large object, right over the horizon. So,
Is that the one, when you say it's right over the horizon, is that the one where it looks like the edge of a saucer-shaped craft sticking out over the horizon?
I know which photo you're talking about, but I want to point out that that particular photo is an optical illusion being caused by the angle of the sun and the hills, the mounds. That's on Hadley Rill, and that was another mission. But I'm glad you pointed it out because, you know, I'm upfront about evidence. You know, evidence is very important, and you can't play, you know, if you know something, you really ought to tell it. And I studied that photograph. I was intrigued by it myself, thinking it was a tilted saucer. But when you see the panoramic view, you see that the curvature of the saucer, the bottom part, is actually a shadow of one of the hills around.
Describe the photograph that you sent to him.
Oh, yeah. I haven't released this. This I've been sitting on for about a year and a half, working it over and getting better and better resolution photographs. But I sent it to him, and he wrote back a very courteous reply, very tactfully worded. And I was hoping to just, as I say, I sent you an email, to just nudge him in a certain direction and hopefully actually jog his memory. One of your callers said, why didn't these guys say this if it's so important? Why didn't they say this when they came back from the moon?
Yeah.
If you recall, all of them were snatched out of the water, paraded across an aircraft carrier, and directly into a quarantine vehicle in which they remained for almost 2 weeks. Okay? Now, during that debriefing period, they went through a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff means interviews, debriefings, sessions with psychologists, on and on and on and on, and they're subjected to a real, it's a mind control job, you know? You will not speak wisely of this night. Remember I talked to you about that statement
mm-hmm.
from the Nebraska sheriff who had the encounter with the E.T.?
Yeah.
You will not speak wisely of this night. Well, I think that all the astronauts were indoctrinated and programmed. It's taken them a lot to break away from it. As you mentioned, you know, the pension, the secrecy oath, the threat of repercussions. And I'm very happy that Edgar Mitchell has had the courage to come forward. And I'm very excited about this, and I told him that I had been waiting for an anniversary. I was going to release these on the anniversary on Sunday, but I said to him that I wanted first to contact him out of courtesy, respect that I have for him, for his comments, his advice, and his consent. And he wrote back, as I said, very tactfully, diplomatically, non-committally, saying, I don't see anything unusual other than, you know, regular lunar features, which is a really cool response, you know. I send him pictures of towers on the moon, like a UFO that he shot, and, you know, basically, I don't see anything out of the ordinary, you know. You can take that both ways. Either I don't see the information you sent me, or that stuff's there all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about, Eric and I talked about earlier in the show, about this page on NASA's website having to do with UFOs, where they say astronauts have reported seeing unidentified objects in space.
Oh, that's
and great. And they great. Say on their website, it says,
great.
We've investigated these and have determined, NASA has determined, that these are not abnormal in the space environment.
Exactly. Can I say something about this? I want to tip my hat to the new NASA. I have two NASAs, Paleo NASA and Neo NASA.
Okay.
The new NASA has been struggling to wrestle its way out of the constrictions that the old NASA had established. And you have to give a lot of credit to Dr. Michael Griffin for doing this. And I'm doubly proud of Michael Griffin, because when I became a member of the Federation of American Scientists, I also became a member of the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics. And he was then the president of that association. And that association was a group of scientists who had bonded together in a formal union in opposition to the secrecy, the clandestine operations of NASA. So when the shuttle disaster, the last shuttle disaster, happened, and a new director was going to be appointed, I really worked to support and hope and prayed it would be Michael Griffin, and he has not disappointed me. I think we're dealing with a new organization. A lot of us have been frustrated by NASA. A lot of us don't trust it, didn't trust it. I, for one, have been very wary of NASA since the very first moment I heard the name in 1958 when it was formed, simply because it's not the United States Space Agency. It's NASA, you know?
That is, mm-hmm.
That is it. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The technically military. Entendre. That's why CIA is not the United States Intelligence Agency either, because it's a cooperation between German interests and American interests. But hopefully... a real American NASA is emerging out of this disaster that was Columbia. And I'm very proud. He's a very courageous man, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, and I have had the pleasure of meeting him.
I'll tell you what, not only is he courageous, not only is he courageous, he is putting a lot of... vibration into the tectonic plates that have protected the information.
Well, you know, he's also got this other aspect to his experience, which is the mystical experience of peak experience, as he calls it, coming back from the moon. He experienced cosmic consciousness, if you want to use that term. You know, he had an epiphany of the relationship of his mind to the order of the cosmos, and he saw the order, and he felt the order, and all of a sudden he felt the presence. And his description of it was quite remarkable when I met him at the Explorers Club. And as I said, it's been a rocky relationship, because, you know, I didn't go there to you know, hassle. I just went out there to ask a very innocent question, but it seemed like the unexpected question that he was not ready to answer, and it was, Dr. Mitchell, can you describe for me the internal structure of the crater Ukert? And, you know, he was being very affable and, you know, philosophical. And when I did that, you know, he went through a whole body language change. He clicked his heels. He stood at attention. He glared at me, as we say in Navy talk. He glared at me like Lieutenant Welscheis. And don't you ever ask me that question. You are way out of line, look, you know?
Well, why? What's the significance of that?
Well, the crater Ukert is one of the most remarkable, if not the most remarkable crater on the moon. because it's very famous in Richard Hoagland's work. He's shown photos of the triangle, perfect triangle inside circumscribed by a crater, and that when the sunlight shines on it, the light creates something like a six-pointed star. The other interesting thing about crater Oukert is that it's in the dead center of the moon, always facing the Earth directly. And since 1953, astronomers have seen strange lights, and I'm talking about not bright white lights, I'm talking about red ruby lights, emerge out of the crater. And it's called lunar transient phenomena. There's certain craters that have a lot of activity around them. Crater Oukert is really very mysterious. So I thought he'd just say, "Oh yeah, I looked into it. It's pretty nice."
Can I ask you a question, Robert?
Triangles. He said,
"Okay, guys, we have a break coming up. So Eric, if you have a question for Robert, it'll have to hold till after the break. We're only about 30 seconds away. You can ask the question, and then he can think about it during the break."
Oh, okay. I've read on the Internet, and I know the Internet is not truthful all the time, that's for sure. But something to the effect of Edgar Mitchell having cancer, and he claimed that he had it cured by some kind of exotic means.
I don't know.
All right, we will have to get to the answer for that when we come back from the break, because I know Robert Morningstar cannot answer yes or no. He will give us details, and we want to hear them. So we'll do that when we come back from this break. Ladies and gentlemen, more with Eric Taber and with our caller, Robert Morningstar. right, we are back. My guest this evening is Eric Tabor. And, Eric, you had asked a question. Just for the sake of the audience, let me check and make sure. Robert, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Ask the question again, Eric.
Okay. And I'm reading from Edgar Mitchell's, I guess, Wikipedia page. It says, Mitchell says that as a teenage remote healer who lives in Vancouver and uses the pseudonym Adam Dream Healer helped heal him of kidney cancer from a distance. Mitchell said that while he never had a biopsy, I had a sonogram and an MRI, and that was consistent with renal carcinoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, did he ever mention anything to you about that? That's my question.
Well, first of all, I know about this phenomenon because I've participated in such healing, so I'm very happy to hear that it's been successful. The question saddened me somewhat to think that he has cancer. But I think it's very significant that when people are faced with a life crisis, you know, truth becomes paramount, and there may be something in that behind his disclosure. I have seen this before. I worked many, many years and continue to work on the JFK assassination. I always knew that in the 90s, witnesses there as age, as, you know, life, the end of life came on, that there's a need to unburden the soul, unburden the weight of soul.
Well, did he ever mention any of that to you?
I've never discussed the healing of his cancer with him.
Well, I'm saying I doubt it. Yeah, I didn't mention it.
Okay, Robert, we're going to have to move on. I have some other callers trying to get in, but I want to tell you that I appreciate you calling, and I look forward to you being on the show with us again in the future, soon, I hope.
Sure, I hope to do so. I heard your show the other day on the UN meeting, and things have moved, and I think it's becoming probable that the UN meeting occurred, but I have more information on that, too.
All right, I'll be in touch. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. And let me get that up on the screen for you again. For those of you who are watching the show, it should be appearing right about now. There we go. 1-623-581-5148. If you have a comment or a question for Eric Tabor, or a comment about the topic that we've been discussing this evening, please feel free to call that number. It will transport you right here into the studio. And it's a magical thing, you know. It's almost like a Star Trek thing. You push those numbers on your phone, and you're here. 1-623-581-5148. Eric, were you surprised to hear Dr. Mitchell talking about these things in the way that he did?
I gotta be honest, no. he's not giving any specifics. He's not telling any kind of like names of the people that he's got this information from. He's doing it in a way that's vague, but it's like to the point, and I just applaud him for it. There's many people. I mean, whether they're all credible or not, I mean, examples I can go on and on. You know, Clifford Stone, these people that were on CNN.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people coming up. Mm-hmm. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is David from Dalton.
David from where?
Dalton, Georgia.
Dalton, Georgia. Are you a first-time caller?
Carpets. Yes,
yeah.
I am, Kevin.
All right. Here's your applause. We're glad to have you. What's on your mind this evening, David?
I met Eric once, and I know Jeff, and I just wanted to let Eric know that I've been emailing Larry King this afternoon to have him to do a special request show on this. This is spectacular news, and I would like to have Larry, since he's such a good journalist and looked at this objectively, be the one to start on this first. And as far as other astronauts, you know, I can think of two, Gene Cernan and John B. McKay, who are little known, but they've talked about the aliens also.
Fill us in. What did they say?
Well, let's see. I had that on an email a while ago.
Well, just generally from your memory of what you know about it.
Well, John B. McKay, he told his daughter Sherry before he died, and while he was dying, that he did witness UFOs and knows of aliens also. And she emailed Brian Vick after he died to let him know. And that was a HBCC UFO research, I believe.
Okay.
Gene Cernan also admitted that he had seen UFOs in space. And what Robert Morningstar said reminded me of Maurice Chatelain. You know, this information's been out there for years, but it's just now getting to the point where it's in the mainstream media. In 1979, Maurice Chatelain, the former chief of NASA Communication Systems, confirmed that Armstrong had seen and reported two UFOs on the rim of a crater. And in 1995, the former chief admitted that we did find an alien base on the moon. So it's just now getting to the point where Americans are now waking up to this fact.
Yeah, some are. Some are. And it's a good
really
sign.
Really quick, if y'all don't mind, to your listeners, if you want to hear some officials actually talking about the subject quite candidly, I suggest you watch the movie, the documentary actually called UFOs It Has Begun, and I believe it's from 79. Dale and Hynek is on there, another former Project Blue Book head, and some other corporate military people.
All right, let me thank the caller for the call. What a great bit of information, and we're glad to know that folks in Dalton, Georgia are listening. By the way, are you still with me on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. What you need to do in Dalton, Georgia, is start a letter campaign to your favorite radio station and tell them they can get their audience back at nighttime by putting this show on their station.
Well, that's a good point. Jeff Adams and I are both involved in the exopolitics, Georgia, and we can move in that direction. And I just wanted to say to Eric, I'll see you soon and hope to. And let's don't ever forget about Clark McClellan, who also has witnessed aliens, and now he doesn't have a job because of it. And he was the inventor, helped invent the space shuttle, and worked on the lunar lander.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah, and let me say that to everyone. Let me remind you, if you like this show, you love this show, and you're asking yourself, well, what can I do that would help the show? Here's the way you can do it, and it will cost you 42 cents, I believe, for a postage stamp, and that is write to your local radio station or call them and tell them they are way behind the curve because they have not yet put this show on their station. They need to do so. All right, we have time. If you make it quick, caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington. I'll make it quick.
All right.
Do you think this may be way off the topic from a little bit from what you're talking about? Is it even possible that there could be something behind the moon, like maybe another moon that we just can't see that's hidden?
There could be anything back there because we cannot see it from the Earth. Yeah.
And then, Kevin, if you're able to get Edgar Mitchell on, is there any way you can give us a little bit of a notice so that we can make sure that we don't miss it?
Yeah, I'll give you a notice right now. Don't miss a single show, because if you do, you miss a universe of information.
Can you let us know like a week ahead of time before you have him on so that we
could... I wish I could oblige you with that, but when I announce who's coming on the show, what happens is we get hacked. And we've tried that before, so I will tell you, if we are able to get him on, I'll let you know that he's coming, but I won't tell you what day, okay? Because I've been doing this for 8 years, and I've learned we get hacked when that happens. Eric, 2 hours just goes by so fast. But we're just about out of time. I really thank you for contacting me with the information and for coming on this show and sharing that information with our listeners and with our viewers. It's been tremendous, and I appreciate you doing that.
And I thank you for the avenue. Your show is very great to get information out. I appreciate you having me on again.
All right, and I hope that you will come back and be with us again in the future, because I know you're always out there digging up new information.
That's correct, and I would suggest everybody do the same. Do your part, and I'll be on anytime you'd like.
Outstanding. Stay on the line with me for a moment. All right, there you have it, folks. Eric Tabor and some pretty earth-shaking information. And you know what? We've run out of time. That means that it is time for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.